16. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us, then, go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Now may the God of peace, who the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for in fact I have written to you briefly. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all the Lord's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with you all.
Yeah, man. And Bush right over there is fine. Thank you, Colin. Colin, appreciate that, brother. That's your treasurer, elected treasurer, by the way, if you're not familiar with that. Just in case any money goes missing, that's I don't mean to throw you under the bus there, Colin. Yeah, I do. There's a blood mobile out there. Anybody notice that? Yeah, go give blood if you want to, and if you can, they might even give you a T-shirt and $20, right? Joe wants the $20. Yeah, see, there you go, $20. So if you get up there in the service and you leave, my assumption is you're going to go get blood. And you can do that if you so desire. Listen, great job by the youth group on Wednesday night. That was pretty awesome to see all those kids out there enjoying that, enjoying a movie. I think we're going to do it again this week, right? Yeah. Excellent, excellent. Food distribution yesterday. Thank you to all those Christian Care Center volunteers that help out and put in the time and the effort and put food in the trunks and organize the boxes. And thank you, thank you, thank you for serving your community and helping people. You can find all kinds of information on your church app. If you don't have the church app, you should have the church app is on it. You'll find who's in the doghouse for the week. You'll find the soap passage for the scripture for next week because we just ran out of Hebrews. Now what? James. Have you already looked? Or are you just guessing? Well, they're all guessing. They're all guessing. Yeah, but we're going into James next week. All right. So there's no lack of ways to get involved. There's things going on Wednesdays. There's in-person Bible studies and prayer meetings. There's Zoom prayer meetings and video conferencing and Bible studies to be a part of. So as I already mentioned, we're coming to the end of Hebrews chapter 13. I hope we're able to kind of go through it and catch some of the connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's very difficult to understand Hebrews without really understanding some of the things in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is very significant for us to understand. It helps us to understand some of the things that needed to be overcome, like some of the religious activities that take place, and even what was written about in our passage today about the ceremonial eating of food, which was of no benefit to them whatsoever. About learning about the movement of the Holy Spirit of God, the fulfillment of Scripture, how it wasn't just passed over, but there was a fulfillment of the Old Testament, not just thrown to the side and forgot about, it was fulfilled. The Old Testament God is the New Testament God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of the Jew is God of the Gentile. And the overwhelming theme of the book is that Christ is supreme. He is superior to all other rivals, all other prophets, all other priests, all other angels. Jesus is better than religion. How about that? Jesus is better than religion. Better than any self-centeredness and worldly ideas. While the flesh is flawed and the earth will decay, Jesus has proven himself over the test of time. About his authenticity. Now, previous chapters cover a lot of doctrine, a lot of that Old Testament doctrine stuff and then the fulfillment thereof. It's a lot to base theology upon, a lot to base our doctrinal beliefs upon, the changes and the fulfillment, the new covenant beliefs, understanding how the old foreshadows the new, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Emmanuel. Some of the things that we covered over the last 12 weeks include things like Jesus reveals God, the new temple, Sabbath rest, symbolism without substance, even one of your notes. Symbolism without substance. Sacraments. What is a sacrament? Talked about the Holy of Holies. We talked about a great high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And what does that exactly mean? Because it's not in the order of the priesthood of Levi when there was law. Jesus in the order of Melchizedek. The promises that were fulfilled and the ones yet to come. And even the examples in the Faith Hall of Fame of what faith is and how to be faithful. We even asked ourselves questions like, I wonder if we test God more than he tests us. We even examined the subtle difference between believing in God and believing God. Now this chapter 13, well, this is kind of the what now chapter. It's concluding remarks. Much of what has been spoken of in this chapter is kind of practical, has some applications, all concerning all the previous things that have been mentioned. Jesus is greater. That was the argument for the last, right, many chapters. Jesus is greater. Angels, greater than Moses, greater than the prophets, greater than any other priest, greater than, now what? All right, you made your point. Now what? Well, now live a life superior like Christ, for Christ, a life that is rewarding and impactful, a life that is purposeful, A life full of faith, hope, and love. And of course, the greatest of these is, do you know it? How do we do that? We must live with a superior love. That was your first one. A great love. A great love. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Very practical. Not easy, but very practical. But keep on loving each other. Are you doing that anyway? Are you doing that already? Well, you should be. Continue in it. Keep on loving your brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality. Oh, and remember the imprisoned for their faith. The first few verses have a lot of practicality. Keep your marriage bed pure. Keep from the love of money. It will ruin your soul. Remember your leaders, those who preached God to you. And don't get carried away with all kinds of strange and whacked out teachings. Great love. Can a great love be wrong? The love that is asked of us to share produces some very real and very tangible actions. If you say you love Jesus, prove it. The superior love of Christ within us guides us to help the stranger, gives us empathy towards those that are mistreated. That great love holds us to respect our marriage vows. That great love helps us to be content with what we have been given and what we have been entrusted with. Many people's discontent in their lives come from the fact they're not grateful for what they already have. They're miserable for what they don't. Can you catch the difference? All they think about is all the stuff they ain't got. All they think about is all the stuff they're not. All the things that they think about are all the things they don't have, and they're not living very content with the things that they do. It's a very practical mindset. What are you dwelling on? What occupies the space in your mind? Who are you? Who are you not? Here's a slide. Don't be anything you're not, but you better be everything that you are. Do you know who you're not better than you know who you are? See, I know I'm not an astronaut, and I can think about that all day long. And my day would be wasted thinking about not being an astronaut and what a loser I am because I'm not an astronaut. Or I can embrace who I am, what God has asked of me, and how God has created me. See, the discontent comes because we're not at peace with ourselves, nor are we at peace with who we are. We're very discontented with who we're not. And great love is not just the love that Jesus holds for us. It is the love that we're to have. It's the love that we should hold. And that love demonstrates as we try to demonstrate that love, listen, toward ourselves, Jesus loved you. As you demonstrate that love that you hold towards yourself and toward others. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for so, by doing so, some have entertained angels without even knowing it. There are actually three people within the scriptures in the Old Testament that have shown hospitality to angels and they didn't know it. Abraham, Gideon, and Manoah. Manoah is the father of Samson. Now, I'm confident that angels have surrounded me and protected me and saved me from all kinds of distresses, emotional distress, physical disasters, spiritual devastations that were coming my way. I know that there have been angels guarding me and around me. Anybody else? Anybody ever get that sense? You know God's watching out for you. You've just seen miracles and angels in your life. You've just seen things that God can do, only God can do. No man could have done that. Many believe that, well, they have a problem being hospitable in their homes because it ain't pretty enough, or it ain't big enough, or it ain't trendy enough. Is there a person that could really benefit from an evening and hanging out with you and your family? Is there a home Bible study that maybe someone should get invited to? Is there a movie night that maybe it'd be good for someone to participate in? A traveling missionary maybe that could use a good meal? Hospitality is nothing more than making others feel welcome and at home. I certainly hope we have a church that makes people feel welcome and at home. We may not be all that trendy. We may not be all that pretty. We're a working church. What we've got, we'll share. Maybe there's some bumps and bruises along the way. Some of us are getting a little gray hairs around the temples and in the whiskers, but there's a lot of wisdom and experience. When Melinda and I first decided to try to find a church, we went to an Alliance church in Connecticut. We just went there to try to see if we could fit in, if we'd like any other church other than the liturgical stuff that we became used to. We had been spending the last couple years in Bible studies. And so we were excited to try to find a church that would actually open the Bible. So we thought, this is going to be great because the pastor said, open your Bible. And we were like, this is going to be awesome. And so we found a home. And right after services, as good as we were feeling, Ron and Anita Hastings invited us over to their house for brunch. Remember that? They invited us over to their house for brunch. Well, there was a few people that came over. Parking in the front yard was awkward and messy, and the kids were yelling, and the teenagers were running through the house, people coming and going. It was a lot. This was not a dignified high society tea party. This was a brunch at their house with teenagers and people coming from the church. I'm sure they didn't vacuum before we got there. There was beer on the patio. Typical family. Typical home. They didn't know us, but we were welcome. They didn't know us, but they shared what they had. They modeled loving their neighbor, loving the stranger. They opened their doors to us. How far do you think that went in helping that church grow? We made connections. They made connections. The church was stronger. How far did that go in preparing a young man for ministry? I don't know. They had no idea. Neither did I. How the deep impact of simple, loving kindness would have. That's church. That's fellowship. That's family. That's welcoming. They took an interest in a young couple, had them over for brunch, along with all their other dysfunctional and chaotic church family friends. Never realizing for one second that they were hosting a future ordained minister for the kingdom of God or a pastor's wife. They just dogged us before they even knew what that meant. They just loved on us right where we were. Listen, I'm no angel. I don't prepare to pretend to be, and I'm not looking for a lunch date. But somehow, someone could benefit from hospitality. A friendly face. Someone to reach out. It was the members of the body of Christ that drew us. It was not the great sermon by the pastor. I couldn't even tell you what he preached on. I forgot all the songs that they sang. But I never forgot that invitation. That's what sticks in my head. That's what was welcoming. Not the pastor. Not some great sermon. Not that the song was sung just right in the right key. It was the body, the fellowship of believers that welcomed and loved people. And by doing so, you have no idea who you're entertaining. We can begin to love each other, even the stranger. the ones that walk by the house, the ones that venture into the church, the ones that visit us, just looking for a place to belong, to fit in. We love visitors at New Life Alliance Church. Come visit us. Visit us often. Let's choose to be friendly. Let's choose to be hospitable. Let's meet someone right where they are and open our doors and welcome them in. Invite someone over to watch the game. Have them over for tacos. I'm available for tacos. Just putting that out there. So, yep, okay, Pastor, got it. Seems pretty routine to me. Seems kind of like, yep, okay, I got it. Pastor, yep, just seems pretty simple. Be hospitable. I cannot emphasize this enough to you in the spiritual realm. While it seems like it's just a practical application, I wanted Jesus to tell you a little bit about how important this is. Some of you have it in your own red-lettered editions, in your passages of Scripture, that Jesus would tell us how important it is, how the simple little work is viewed by God. It's where he separates the sheep and the goats. Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, that doesn't sound like he's coming as a little baby boy. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, and he will sit on his glorious throne, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And the righteous gathered there will say to Jesus, they will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go and visit you? And the king would reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he says to the ones on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and the angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. And they will also answer, King, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and we did not help you? And he would reply, truly I tell you, whenever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment. But the righteous to eternal life. Separating the sheep's and the goats. How important is hospitality? There are those who have a superior, great love. Great love. And then there are those that have a self-centered love, looking out for themselves, and for their own, and that's the end of it. And what good is it if you love only those that love you? Even the pagans do that. I'm confident of this, that this magnificent Jesus, this supreme Christ in every way, this greater than all others kind of Christ, gives us and shows us and imparts upon us the ability of this superior love. And this great love produces even greater service. There's your next one, greater service. A greater service, service towards mankind. I want you to see the progression, particularly as we come to the end of Hebrews, as we approach the end of the book. The superior Jesus, that Jesus that we so love, brings a great love. And he imparts a great love upon you. And that love produces a greater service. The love that you have is greater than the feelings that are associated with the world. The love that you have is far superior than anything that is earthbound and temporary. And that love produces a greater service, a loving service that is supernatural, service that is Holy Spirit inspired, a service that thinks of others, not just themselves. And God would say, I would never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we can have confidence. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Greater service shows itself in self-sacrifice. Serving your spiritual family. Spiritual self-sacrifice. Serving those that are suffering or in need. Honoring and trustworthy spiritual leaders, inviting them over for tacos. Remember, here's one. Loving Christ enough that you're willing to suffer for his cause, for the sacrifice of righteousness, for his cause, not your cause, his cause. I know you've got a cause. I know the world's got a cause. I know most nonprofits got a cause. But what's his cause? And are you willing to sacrifice for his cause? There's your next slide. Love and service committed to a cause. His cause. Not the cause of the world, not fame, not wealth, not prestige, his cause. See, it's the work of the kingdom where they're going to separate the sheep and the goats. What's the work of the kingdom? When you did this to the least of me, when you did not do it for the least of these, when you have not looked after my people, my creation, when you chose to turn the other way as opposed to turn the other way. Get involved with kingdom work and you will soon discover the value of the church. You will soon discover the value of the body of believers. You will soon discover the value of fellowship and togetherness and unity. There's the great love and greater service in action. Loving the unlovable. Giving to the ungrateful. Ooh, how hard is that? Forgiving that which you believe is unforgivable. Just dog them. Showing grace and mercy. They don't deserve it. Will you give it? Will you impart it upon them? It's a sacrifice of self. Are you kidding me? Love my wife when she's unlovable? Is that what you're asking of me? Respect your man apart from his performance? Is that what you're asking? Is that what you're saying? That's self-sacrifice. That's me working on the relationship. That's you working on your relationship. And you're going to find it difficult. Sacrifice of self is difficult. And listen, if you find it impossible to love them, can you at least not hurt them? The greatest acts of love will produce a servant's heart. It approaches the parental divine. If you're a parent, you get it. You dislike your children's behavior, even if they are created in your own image. But they still get housed. They still get clothed. They still get fed. They still get cared for. You still take them to the game, even though you don't like their behavior. This is a great love that moves beyond feeling. You know it. You put it into practical application all the time. But what good is it if you love only those that love you? The pagans do that. We're talking about a great love that moves you into a greater service. That this world really knows very little of. Look past the behavior that is so wretched. If you have the spiritual eyes of Christ, we begin to see a whole new world that Jesus would open up to us. And it's not relegated simply by the flesh, or by money, or by feelings. We already know the world is full of evil, hurtful people that take advantage. Immorality prevails, lust and greed, and violence dominates. Don't be that. Don't be like the world. From God's viewpoint, we can feed the world. From God's viewpoint, we could house everybody. We have enough for everyone's need, but not enough for everyone's greed. Man is corrupt. I'm sorry, it's not God's fault. God has asked you to be different than the world, to view things from His vantage point. And for whatever reason, God desires to work through His people. He desires to work through those, in those, and through those that would say, I'm one of God's people. Are you one of God's people? Give me an amen. Amen. Be a part of God's plan to bring people to Himself, to be different than the world. And it's not weakness. It's not weakness. Only the strongest can. Only the strongest would dare. Only the strongest would dare to speak the truth. Only the strongest can take a stand against evil. Only the strongest can pray with their spouse, pray with their kids, pray with their friends, pray with their coworkers. Only the strongest would dare pray in public, giving thanks to God for tacos. Why am I on tacos today? I don't have tacos today. Should I say pizza? Pizza works? Tacos, pizza. It's going to take all you got sometimes in life to be an overcomer of this world. The opportunity to serve with a greater impact will show itself. God will work in you and through you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that even mean? Jesus is the same. Same shoe size? That same hair color, I'm sure of it. What, same, wearing the same clothes? Still got those swaddling cloths he was wrapped. Tangibly, he's not the same. Is he? Came from spirit, had flesh, dwelt among us, died, now glorified body. How's that the same? Maybe you mean attributes. Maybe you mean the intangibles. That which is not seen. Invisible but real. Unseen but impactful. Maybe you mean the same form, right? The same, whether Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. The same in any form. Maybe that's what you mean. The Old Testament God is the New Testament God. The same. Jesus is God. There's a couple elements that come through that I would really like for you to understand about being the same. One of those is that He is sovereign. His sovereignty has not changed. from New Testament to Old Testament. What's different now? What's religiously different? How do we approach God? His sovereignty is the same. Always has been the same. He is supreme rule. And God is accomplishing his plan for the world. Are you excited about that? Or are you afraid? God is accomplishing his plan for the world. God is overseeing, and God is completing his work. Are you ready? In you. God is completing his work in the physical realm. He's completing his work in the spiritual realm. God has not changed. God's plan will be fulfilled. God has not given up on you. He's not forgotten you. He's not left you for dead. He's not forsaken you. He's bringing you right along, and he's even shared with you. This is kind of what it's going to look like. It's not going to be pretty, because there's going to have to be a new heaven and a new earth. A new creation of something physical and something spiritual. So what you are, what you see, temporary. How invested are you in the temporary when God speaks to you about eternity? Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifice, God is pleased. God is pleased. The other thing we've already kind of covered, love. His love is the same. Same yesterday, today, and forever. The same love he holds for his creation. The sacrifice that he looks for us to make comes difficult for us. Here's your next slide. Sacrifices of doing good and sacrifices of sharing with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So, it's self-sacrifice oftentimes to do good, even when you don't want to. It's a self-sacrifice sometimes when you want to share with others, even though you'd rather have the whole pizza. Could have said taco. This is a great love. It produces even greater, right, service. But all of this leads to something even more wonderful, if I could say it that way. Something delightful, pleasing, magnificent, the greatest thing of all. All of this following him and all this self-sacrifice and all this obeying him and doing things the right way and hoping that you're numbered with the sheep and not with the goats and hopefully that you're doing all the right things leads to something that you possess that the world does not. And it is the greatest relationship. There's your last one. It is the greatest relationship. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So be it. What a benediction. What a way to end Hebrews. The God of peace is equipping you. The resurrected Christ, your shepherd, at work within you to accomplish that which is pleasing to him. See, God desires a personal relationship with you. He desires a personal relationship with you. Not a religious one, a personal one. God desires to work in you, to give you strength and encouragement, to do that which he has asked of you to do. God longs to guide you, longs to lead you, longs to care for you, longs to heal you and restore you. He longs to hear from you, to be in relationship with you. The world is missing a relationship with God. And it misses great love and greater service because it misses the greatest relationship. All those mysterious, wonderful prayers, you don't even know what to say or how to pray. He hears your heart. He knows you in a very intimate and very personal way. He knows your deepest wounds and scars, all the silent moments you spend lying in bed, staring at a dark ceiling. You can't sleep. You're stressed out. Your mind's going a mile a minute. You're begging him. God is there. God is with you. All those physically exhausting moments when you're sick, coughing, hacking up a lunger, God is there. He's in the midst. All the struggles, all the praises, all the victories, all the failures, all the births, all the deaths, all the firsts and all the lasts, God is there. He's with you in a relationship with you. All the ups and downs and all the turnarounds, God is there. God is with you. He desires to be with you now and for all eternity. Don't miss a personal relationship you should have with God. Do you want a personal relationship with God? Ask him. You want a deeper personal relationship with God? Ask him. He's here. He's present. Now. Let's pray. Father, in this place, I would even ask of you now. I desire a deeper personal relationship with you. And Father, might you hear the hearts of those that do not have a relationship with you. Might you move into their souls. Might you speak to them that they would turn to you and cry out, I desire you, Lord. We need you, Father. We need you, Son. And we need the Holy Spirit of God to work in us. We desire a great love that would inspire greater service, that we might partake in the greatest relationship of all. Thank you for your words that you have not forgotten us. You have not forsaken us. In fact, you have promised to be with us and to empower us. May we not be afraid. May we walk in praise and adoration for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. In the name of your Son, amen. God bless you guys.